Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Founded by drummer and musical director Tommy Igo, the Birdland Big Band features the finest musicians in New York City. Every Friday from 5 to 7, the band gathers to play two swinging big band sets. This month, Birdland Jazz Club is celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Birdland Big Band, and this morning we are joined by
Rob Middleton,
Nathan Childers.
We start with the basics. What is Birdland Big Band?
The Birdland Big Band is a band that has had a residency at the club. It was founded by our music director Tommy Igo, the drummer. I would say the mission of the band is really to play exciting, accessible music that showcases the great jazz talent in New York, including the talent that's in this wonderful band.
How did you each find out about it and join?
I actually was a member of a band, and Nathan was often playing with a band that preceded the Birdland Big Band at the club Birdland when Birdland opened. We were both playing with another band led by a man named Lou Anderson. I was a member of Lou's band for a long time, as was Tommy Igo and some other members of the Birdland Band now. Lou got old and couldn't lead anymore, and Tommy took over that band, Tommy Igo. After a certain point, sort of did a tribute to Lou and then started a new concept for the band. And we were on board with that. That was just about 10 years ago. We did a tribute to Lou in May of 2006, sort of turned a page with fond memories, and continued. Tommy re-envisioned the purpose of the band, the sound of the band, started adding new music to the repertoire, changed things, and it grew into the band that it is today. And we've been there just about every Friday for the past 10 years. But we were there with another band first, and this grew out of that.
How are the musicians in the band chosen, selected? How do you get to be a part of this?
That's an interesting question. So my particular background, I started subbing with Lou's band in the early 2000s, and over time became, I guess you'd say, a go-to sub for that group and all the spots. I grew to know the music quite well and the intent or energy of the band, which I also believe translated into the current version of the band. There's a certain energy. If you come to the club, you'll hear it, you'll see it. So as far as how members get into the band, that was my story. And from my perspective, it's always been a band that welcomed younger musicians, and perhaps it could be somebody somewhat new to town, or word of mouth. So you might end up subbing in the band or playing with the band because you're good friends or, you know, close with another musician in the band. So we have a pretty long list of musicians in each book or each spot that we consider part of the band at some level. These days, the spots are fairly well set. I mean, there's personnel changes over time, things happen, but I'd say that Tommy has chosen several of the members over the last several years, and we've sort of settled into our current group.
How is the music that you will play selected? When do you rehearse, if you have time to rehearse, and how do you know what you'll decide what you'll play each week? Whose choice is that, and how is everybody notified?
Well, that's up to me. Tommy developed a repertoire for the band. You could say he curated the repertoire and really did a remarkable job of choosing music that fits the mission of this band. And I have been the guest conductor for the past 4 or so years. Maybe it's 5 years now, just about. And I choose the music that we're going to play every week. Occasionally, someone else guests conducts. Last week, it was Glenn Drews. But I'm usually there when Tommy's not around, and he's not around too much anymore. He lives in California. But I choose the music, and I think about what would make a good program and what would particularly well showcase the talents of people who are going to be there. And I send out an email to people the day before, and everybody absorbs that and knows what to do and knows what will be expected. And we do make a few calls on the fly at the last minute. You know, that happens too. This is jazz. So that's pretty much how we do it.
It sounds like somehow it's both a huge undertaking and is kind of rolling along easily.
It's both. You've hit an interesting point about this band. It is a huge undertaking. You have several musicians. You have high-level musicianship happening very intense music. We've had a lot of music written for us that's very specific. It's not easy. So that is not an easy task, to suddenly have musicians show up on a Friday and make it work and have the audience be thrilled. That means you have to have the right people, the right musicians that have the concept in their head about what is expected of them. Part of that's being a musician in New York. Your caliber needs to be high, and you know what you should know what you need to do. We don't rehearse regularly, but we're on point as far as music is sent, or if there's something one of the players needs to look at, they'll look at it, and it's a bit of a trust issue that we expect each other to look at what we need to look at ahead of time.
Are there people who attend every week?
Yes, there are. There's some regulars who practically seem like family to us, people there just about every week. There's a man who sits at the bar, and I've been working on getting a gold plaque for him there. We still haven't gotten that, but, you know, working on it. And some other friends who've been there, sometimes who've brought large groups of guests. So we love our regulars. They come just about every week. And Birdland being in New York and being a well-known club, there are people that come from all around the country and all around the world. At any given Friday, I usually ask how many people are hearing the band just for the first time, and I see quite a show of hands. And it's really a thrill. We meet people from all around the country, all around the world. There are people who come to hear us regularly when they're in New York, people from as far away as Australia, other places around the country. And we've got people in the band from all around the country and all around the world. New York is an amazing place, and I think that Birdland is a microcosm of that, this cauldron of music.
What do each of you do other than this?
Fairly typical story in my case of a New York musician, maybe a jazz musician. I do a mixture of teaching that could be everything from younger students right up to college level. I do a little bit of Broadway work. I work with singers here and there, some recording work. I play in clubs. It could be anything from a pop group to a jazz group to you name it. A pretty wide range, and that's a pretty common current expectation of a musician here. It can be challenging, but it's also rewarding. It keeps your skills up, and it keeps you looking forward.
Well, I have the pleasure of doing all kinds of things, like Nathan. My portfolio, you might say, is performing, teaching. I'm a composer as well, and much of my teaching is at Caldwell University, where I teach. I teach various classes. I run the jazz band there. That takes up a good bit of my creative energy and time, but I also play in a number of other ensembles. I've done a lot of big band playing over the years. Really, you should call it a jazz orchestra. Jazz orchestras, that's what that is, really, what we do, and there are a lot of great jazz orchestras in New York playing some really interesting, exciting music, all kinds of stuff. So I play jazz, like Nathan. I play popular music sometimes. I play at weddings, clubs. I do a lot of classical music playing, too. I love classical music. So really, quite a lot of things. And you know, we somehow put it all together and make time on Friday afternoon to do this. Where else would I be on Friday afternoon, right?
As you are working musicians, do you also get to attend live performance? And do you like to see what other people are doing in the field?
Not as much as I would like. That's a tricky one because I am so busy making my own way as a musician and educator. whenever I do get a chance, yes. I mean, there's a myriad of clubs that, a person, any person can go to and hear great music. You just literally need to pick one and go, and you're going to hear something great. So I definitely do. And Birdland's very welcoming to us as people that are musicians that are working there. So I often will stay and hear what's happening at the club that night, if it's a Friday, or stop in and see who's playing. So it's a pretty welcoming club in that respect, too, for musicians.
Yeah, I agree with that. I hear a lot of great music at Birdland. You know, stick around after we play or come in some evening. There's a great wealth of music. I go to other clubs sometimes. So I get out to hear music fairly regularly. I make time to do it. You know, I don't get out as much as I would like. I mean, I could go to 20 concerts a week. I get to hear the New York Philharmonic from time to time. I have the good fortune of having a wife and son who love to hear great music. And so we make time from time to time. So, you know, being in the New York area is just an amazing opportunity, really. So if there were more than 24 hours in a day, I'd be going out even more. But we do go, you know, and we also we hear what our fellow musicians are doing. An important part of what we do is when we play in other ensembles, you know, we hear what our fellow musicians are doing, what they're writing, you know, what they're thinking. That's the great thing about being around here, this cauldron of musical activity.
Our guests have been Rob Middleton and Nathan Childers. The Birdland Jazz Club is located on 44th Street in New York City, and the Birdland Big Band is celebrating their 10th anniversary of playing every Friday from 5 to 7. Links to more information are posted at wamc.org/roundtable along with this interview. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.